Okay, I'm going to call to order the Pacifica National Board Special Open Session. Tonight is Thursday, September 3rd, 2009, and this is a continuation meeting continued from Friday, August 28th, 2009, and Sunday, August 23rd, 2009. And this continuation meeting begins at Agenda Item 6, Part 8, Section 3, Section 2 of
Correct.
The Procedures for LSD Recall Elections. And I am going to turn the chair over to George, who's the chair of the Governance Committee, which is working on this recall procedure. You can take it from me, George.
Let me call.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. We have to call the roll first. Richard, please call the roll.
Okay. Jerry Gindelman? Jerry? Are you there, Sherry?
I said here.
Thank you, Sherry. Honey Simmons?
Here.
Andrea Turner? Joe Wanzala?
Here.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Sean O'Brien?
Present.
Leslie Radford? Rico Ross?
Here.
George Ryder?
Here.
Sandra Rollin?
Here.
Denise Shrell? Susan Young?
Here.
Nia Bediako?
Present.
Carolyn Burton?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Jamie Ross? Jim Brown? Can't hear you, Jim. AC Bird? Can't hear you, AC. Lucette King? Can't hear you, Lucette. Billy Ray Edwards?
Yeah.
David Beaton?
Here.
Sophia Wangaza? You have a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Richard. And Sean, would you be willing to be the timekeeper again?
Yes, I'll do that. Just remind your lowly timekeeper how much time he needs to put on each. Oh, wait a minute. George did that for me. Thank you, George.
Yes.
yes, I did.
And before I turn it over to George, someone else came on the call.
Yes. Hi, this is Andrea.
Hi, Andrea. Richard, please note that Andrea is here.
I got
her. And I'm going to turn the chair over to George for the recall election section of this agenda. You got it, George.
Okay. Thank you, Grace. The first item is number two. We've passed the first one already. Again, I remind you, we're going to do each one of these. They can be amended. They can be substituted for. When it's all finished, we'll have a final vote on whether or not to accept the final document. So the one in front of us at the moment reads as follows. The general manager will have 10 working days from receipt of the petition to certify that the names on the petition are authentic and a sufficient number to satisfy the bylaw requirement of 2% of the membership of the class of the delegate. The GM will notify the secretary of the LSB immediately when that determination is made. Leslie is not here. Anyone, of course, can move her substitute amendments, substitute motions, or you can just move to directly amend what I've got. I would like to add one piece that she has as an amendment to that, which is that the number of required signatures shall be clearly stated in this letter of determination. So, do I have a second for that?
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm confused. Are we using the comparison from last meeting?
Yes.
But have you changed some of the language now in this new one that you've got?
No. I'm amending it on the floor now.
Yeah, George, I too am just a little, and I apologize, okay. I didn't get appropriate time today to look at all this due to my hectic personal life, but are we going off what you attached to the document you sent out today?
Yes. That's the same thing that was there last time.
Oh.
The difference between what is there and what Leslie is suggesting is that in addition to what I just read, Leslie's proposed substitute motion, which has not yet been moved, would include that the number of required signatures should be clearly stated in this letter of determination. And I would like to add that to mine. That is to say, it's the only difference, and I would hope then that we could just quickly accept this one, if I have a second for that as an amendment to, what's in front of me.
This is Susan, second.
Okay, so it's been seconded. Is there any objection to that amendment?
Well, George, this is Mia.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I thought when we left off, we were doing the actual comparisons,
right,
and we were going item by item.
We are.
So Leslie's was moved.
But Leslie was not moved. We haven't got to that yet.
Okay. Maybe
it was going to be moved paragraph by paragraph, so that we're talking about item two now, and so it would be appropriate to move Leslie's version now. But I'm hoping that by just adopting the one thing that's different in what I've written, we can simply agree on that and go on to the next one.
Could you restate your amendment, George, please?
Yes. I need to get to it, actually.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that. Okay, thank you.
Will you restate this, Richard? Will you restate your amendment, please?
The amendment is to add to the bottom of paragraph 2 the statement, the number of required signatures shall be clearly stated in this letter of determination.
That's not what I'm reading, George. I'm looking at number 2. The general manager shall have 10 working days. And the only word in red is immediately. Am I looking at the right document, George? That may be my fault.
You are. I'm amending that document.
Oh, okay. I apologize, George. And it's not here. You're amending it on the floor. I apologize.
I'm sorry. Also, please repeat what you want to put in again.
The number of required signatures shall be clearly stated in this letter of determination.
And that's going to go...
At the end of section 2...
Okay, you want to take that, okay, and put it over to the left.
That's correct.
Sheet.
And, George, I understand that was recommended by Leslie and you want to incorporate it. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, George, and understand...
Seems like a good idea to me to let everybody know what that number was in case there's any questions later on.
And some of us are not looking at the comparison. We're just going off what you sent out, so please be aware of that.
Okay. Is it clear what the amendment is? Any question about what the amendment is? Okay. Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing none. Is there any objection to the paragraph as it's amended? Hearing none. Let's go on to the next one.
George, could you kind of send it out again, please? Because I've been having problems with my internet and my email, just so I could be looking at it. That's the comparison. The ones we're working on last week.
Would someone else forward that? It's a little hard for me to do that at the same time that I'm during the meeting.
George, your phone is breaking up.
Is this any better?
Yeah, I'll send it out again. I'll send out George's thing, and I'll send it to the PNB.
Just a comparison. That has both.
I don't have that. Who has
that? Susan did a nice summary of the differences. And that's in an email which she sent out on 8/28 at 4:48 p.m. to the PNB.
I can resend it to people if they need it.
It has them all side by side.
Okay.
George?
Yes.
Should I be recognized?
Yeah, you just were.
Okay.
George, One moment, starting our second. This is a timer question. I apologize, Bonnie. Have we started on number three, and should I start the clock on number three?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, Bonnie.
Here's something that confuses me about this. The general manager has 10 days to go through the list and see if they're authenticated to be able to be voters who are counted. And the record date is the date that the general manager certifies the petition. How has the general manager been able to determine if on that date those people were authenticated to vote? Am I making sense to you?
You are, but I presume the general manager, and the reason it was written this way is that I presume that the general manager is in the best position to determine who is actually a paid-up member.
But the general manager is not going from, like, for instance, the list and the dates that we use for an LSB election. It would be a different list of voters depending upon the date that the petition was turned in. It's just sort of mind-twisting.
I guess
for instance,
I don't...
on staff at KPFA, if I were to use an example.
Yes.
It's based on paid work done on 3 months, but it's based on unpaid staff from a year's period of time, not necessarily from the last time they certified a staff list. It would have to be based on a new calculation if you're setting a record date that is different from the record date that is, for instance, used in an LSB election. I know it's a little hard to explain.
The record date is important here because a little while later, we're going to require, and the bylaws require this, that the ballots be sent out within 60 days, 45 to 60 days of the record date. So whatever difficulty the GM has in validating it, we can't set the record date back at the last LSB election, or we won't be able to follow the bylaws.
I'm not sure. I'm not actually saying that I know what the right way to go here is. I just see this as pretty confusing because you're asking the general manager. I mean, I would assume that they can do that calculation using MEMSIS for listeners. I guess they can set MEMSIS to say, let's say that a petition was turned in March. I guess you could have MEMSIS do a calculation for you telling you who were the voters who were eligible to be voting from the prior March to that date in March? Is that how you'd look at it?
Bonnie, I presume that the GMs know, or would like to think, that they have an up-to-date list of staff members. And as far as listener members, yeah, I believe it's in MEMSIS, and you're a member for a year, and you know, I'm pretty sure you can call up who's the live members at any moment. The question of when to put the record date, I mean, I think we're the only other suggestion has been made, instead of putting the record date at the time when the, and this was Leslie's suggestion, at the time that the chair certifies that the recall has enough signatures, Leslie's suggestion was to put it at the time when the petition was actually received. If you want to make an amendment to that, that would be fine, but I don't see any way other than giving it to the GM to get the petition certified.
No, I'm not arguing that giving it to the GM. I agree with you on that.
Okay. So is it a question about when to make the record?
I'm just not sure what date the GM is using to say, okay, I need to determine if these people that signed this petition were eligible to vote from the year or the 3 months prior to what date? There's too many X's in the equation. I'm sorry I'm not being clearer.
Is your concern that the general manager, when he starts it, doesn't know how many days it's going to take him to finish it, so that the record date
when is the 50th supposed to take place? Oh, I got the wrong question.
No, it's...
I guess I don't understand then, Bonnie.
Does
anyone else want to speak to this issue, perhaps clarify what's at stake here?
We could take a shot at it, but I'm just trying to see if we can come up with some way isn't going to be questioned.
Okay, I have a question which may clarify it or may make the confusion worse. We need to decide whether the membership that's eligible to sign the petition should be from the current membership, which would be being a current member in that class of members, at the date that they signed the petition, or the date of of their being a member to qualify in the election when that person being recalled was originally elected. So should we check their membership in 2007 or 2009 for a current recall?
It seems to me that the only thing that's required by the bylaws is that you be a member at the time that the petition is submitted, that those names have to be members at that time. So the only uncertainty, it seems to me, is the 10 days between when the petition is handed in and when the GM actually makes the certification, which seems to be not a serious problem.
So why don't we make that clarification, put that in the procedures, that the person signing the recall petition must be a member as of the date of his signature on the petition.
Okay.
Or her signature.
So we'll make that as an amendment?
Yes.
Okay, we'll add that. Can you send that to Richard? I think it's clear what the censure is, that you have to be a member on the date that you signed.
Right.
And tell me where to put that. And be nice.
Right after the rest of it.
It'd be another amendment to point two.
Right. Well, it's the only amendment to point two at this point. Is there a second to that amendment?
I second it. Dave.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay. Hearing none.
I'm going to abstain. I just find it confusing, but... just let me abstain.
Okay. Is there any objection? Anyone else want to speak to the Section 3 as it's been amended? Okay. Is there any objection to Section 3 as it's been amended? Okay. Hearing none, we'll go on to Section 4. This one, as it's written, it says the following. The chair of the PMB shall appoint an agent to supervise the conduction of the election or otherwise or otherwise see that the election is conducted fairly. The ballots are to be distributed between 45 and 60 days from the record date. They are to be returned as postmarked within 35 days of their mailing date. Ballots are to be counted and a result declared by the election supervisor within 15 days of the return date of the ballots. The 35 days is actually what's in the bylaws in terms of when you're supposed to get back a delegate's election, and the 15 days is the time given unless there's some extension for counting the ballots. So this seems to be consistent with standard procedure. Also, the fact that it's the chair of the PNB, Leslie was suggesting that it be the ED. I think the PNB clearly has responsibility for this, so I think it has to be the chair.
I was going to ask, after what Grace sent out this morning, which was a minor correction, she said it's not even the chair of the PNB. It is the PNB that is responsible for recalls or their appointed agent. So I think it should read, the PNB shall appoint, and if we want the chair to appoint, we should delegate that power.
Okay, you want to make that as an amendment?
I want to make that as an amendment, that it shall be the PNB, or their appointed agent, chair or otherwise, who will, supervise the conduct of the election, the recall.
Is there a second for that?
Can I flesh that out a little bit more?
Sure.
Please.
Okay, I would say, in conformity with Article 3, Section 8, Part E of the bylaws, recall elections shall be supervised by the Board of Directors or the Board's designated agent.
Right. And if that's the chair or somebody else?
Yeah.
So I would like to make that as an amendment, that it shall be the PNB or their appointed agent that will supervise the conduction of the election. That's my amendment.
May I insert one tiny thing? May we say conduct of the election or conduct the election rather than conduction?
Okay. There's always a stickler for grammar in this thing, isn't there?
Sandra, can I speak?
Let me see. Is there a second to Sean's motion?
Yeah, Dave seconded.
Okay. Yes, Sandra, if you would speak to the his amendment, if you could.
I wanted to put this in there before it got seconded, and so we wouldn't have to go back and forth. But I think that it's important that the ED be notified, because they have a responsibility. They don't need to be in charge of it, but they need to at least be notified, because it's going to cost the foundation money.
We put that in the very first paragraph.
Okay, thank you.
That the ED would be notified for just exactly that reason.
Okay.
This is Nia. This is Nia George. May I be recognized?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm a little distracted. I didn't hear what the amendment. I just want to be clear about what the amendment is, and then I'll make my argument. But could I just be clear as to what he said?
He says instead of the chair of the PNB, it will be replaced by the PNB or their designated agent.
And may I say, George,
supervise the conduct of the election.
Okay.
And may one quick point just to tell you why.
Could I finish, please, George?
Yeah, you have the floor. Please continue.
Okay. I think since this whole thing, it should be independent of the Pacifica National Board. It should be up to an election supervisor. So I have to speak against the motion. I don't think that we should participate in any way, shape, or form, because it will not be perceived as being nonpartisan. But a separate person, a national election supervisor, some kind of election supervisor, will appear to be more nonpartisan rather than the board. So that's what I'd like to speak against.
I have a point of order.
Yeah, I have a point of order, too.
I think that Nia is correct in a way, but the bylaws state what the bylaws state.
Right.
And the bylaws say, except for the LSP elections, which is in the prior sentence, all other voting by members shall be supervised by the Board of Directors or the Board's designated agent, which shall also be responsible for ensuring and monitoring compliance with its voting procedures and processes and for counting ballots consistent with these bylaws. This body doesn't have the authority to make a ruling that's contrary to the bylaws. If we don't like the bylaws, we have to change them. But the bylaws state what they state, and the recall election must be supervised by the board.
Let me speak to that, because it seems to me if we pass this as it was originally without the amendment, basically the board is deciding at this point how we're going to do that supervision, and we're going to do it by an appointed election supervisor.
Right.
If you leave the amendment in as it is, it's it's left up to a future board to decide how to do any future recalls.
That's correct.
Well, may I speak to this? Yeah, does anybody else want to speak to the amendment?
I never got
to motivate the amendment, so.
Can I be on the staff?
Yes, you can. I thought you did, Sean, but go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I agree with Grace that this is, if you don't like this, you got to change the bylaws, because the bylaws puts the PMB in charge of the election. And I merely want to see what we are doing here comply and conform with the bylaws, period.
Now, who was it that wanted to be on? Was that Sandra?
Susan.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it seems to me that the board adopting policies and procedures that designate someone to perform that has the effect of the board making the decision and identifying an agent. So to me, the board making this decision in policies and procedures is consistent with the bylaws. It's not changing the bylaws. It is it's fulfilling its function. This board or a future board could at any time change the policies and procedures, could decide to change who the agent was or to have that decision made every time a recall comes forward. But I think establishing a policy and a procedure that is adopted by the board that the board can change is consistent with its role under the bylaws.
Anyone else want to speak to the amendment?
George, put me on this deck after everybody else has spoke.
We are only working on that one line right now, correct?
That's correct. It's just the amendment. Anyone else want to speak to it? Okay. Hearing none, Sean?
Yeah, I would assume, by the way, that this is written that the PNB can appoint an agent or they can supervise it themselves. And to do anything different would take a bylaw change. It doesn't say we must appoint an agent. It says we shall. Maybe we shall not. You know, a future PNB that has a harmonious board may want to supervise the election. And I think anything we do here is going to take up a bylaws change, and that's way beyond, you know, our pay grade right now, folks.
Anybody else want to speak for against the amendment? Okay. Hearing no further discussion, is there any objection to the amendment as it was presented by Sean?
Could you please read it?
The chair of the PMB would be replaced by the PMB or their appointed representative shall conduct election or otherwise see that the election is conducted fairly. So it's
that simple.
It replaces the specific procedure with a more general to-be-determined procedure for how we're going to supervise the election. Any other questions? Okay. Do I have any objections to the amendment? Okay. Hearing no objections, do I have any objections to the paragraph as amended?
Yes, I would like
Go ahead.
I am troubled by they are to be returned as postmarked within 35 days of their mailing date. Ballots are to be counted and a result. Hold on, sorry. Let me shut the door.
Yeah, and let me just say we are at time, and we are now at time. Or let me make sure, was that 10 minutes? Was this one 10 minutes? I just want to be sure.
This one was 15 minutes.
Oh, I apologize. Well, we have five more minutes, and I apologize, sir.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bonnie.
I'm actually on the other line.
First of all, in the case of staff elections, a large number of people bring their ballots to the radio station. They do not send them through the mail. And I don't think that postmark is the way to do this. I think it should be a date, which can be 35 days, that they have to be in.
Okay, you want to amend it as postmark to be, they have to be, just take it out. They have to be returned.
I just don't think it should be by postmark.
Okay. So is there a second to that amendment?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment? Okay, hearing none, it's amended. We take out as postmarked and leave it as the rest is the same.
Ballots are to be counted in the result.
Are there any other objections to the paragraph as it's been amended? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to number five.
Okay. George, this is Richard. I need to have Grace's amendment sent to me and Sean's amendment sent to me. Thank you.
It was only one amendment. It was Sean's. And Sean, will you take care of that? Or
number three.
Yeah,
there was
an amendment. I made an
number
amendment.
Number three.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I sent it to you, Richard.
It was on an earlier thing. That's right. Okay.
Number five, this one also for 15 minutes. The ballot will consist of the text of the recall petition exactly as submitted. An explanatory statement of the charges in the petition by the petition is of no more than 1,000 words. And a statement from the delegate subject to recall of no more than 1,000 words plus the number of words in the petition. The additional statement by the petitioners must be submitted within 10 days of the record date and will be immediately forwarded to the delegate. The delegate's statement is required to be filed 21 days before the mailing date determined by the election supervisor. The ballot shall have as responses only yes or no that the delegate should be recalled.
George, you're breaking up really bad. I apologize, but you sound like you're underwater.
Maybe this phone's running out of battery. Let me just check it.
Really?
Yeah, okay.
Is this any better? Maybe I'm holding
it. Yes, it is. It is much better.
Okay. I think I get it.
George, this is Mia.
Yes?
What was Leslie's substitute, please? I'm sorry if you
broke it up. Leslie's substitute would have changed, would have taken out the stuff in red about
it's happening again,
petition.
George.
Can't you really hear me?
Let me try the speakerphone. Maybe that works better. Just a moment.
Is that any better?
No,
it's worse.
It's worse.
Okay. Yeah, you're really underwater now, Chief.
How about now?
Hey!
Yeah!
That's good?
Yeah, let's hope it keeps that way.
Okay, I'll try not to move the phone. Leslie's... Let me bring it up to make sure I've got it straight here. But Leslie's would not have had the petitioners be given an explanatory statement. So basically...
Do it again, George.
This is crazy. Let me get another phone.
Yeah, get another phone. Let's take a one-minute recess and you get another phone.
Okay. Just a moment.
Maybe Bonnie can read it in the meantime.
I'd be happy to read it if you can hear me. I've got it in front of me.
Is this phone better?
Yes, George.
Yeah.
Much better?
So far, keep talking.
Okay. It's different anyway. Hang on a second. I have to go back and get my computer.
All right. Very good.
In the meantime, I'd like to sing you guys a song.
There you go. Some talent on the board. Okay, go.
Hello, everybody. Anyway, I'd like to say hello to everybody.
Rico. How are you?
Hello.
I always feel we just jump into talking and nobody even says hi to anybody.
Hopefully this will continue to work. Leslie's motion was different in two regards. One was a trivial one, which I would have no objection to, which was 1,000 words was reduced to 800. And the other was that instead of giving the petitioners the right to explain their petition, and of course then the person subject to recall would have the opportunity to respond to whatever else they said, the only thing that would be sent out would be the petition itself. There would be no extra explanatory statements by the petitioners, it would just be the response of the petition and the response of the delegate. So that would be the differences. So, do I have anyone object to this as it stands?
Yes.
Yes, I would like to speak to it.
Okay, Sean, you were first.
Yeah, I would like to have and give the voters a chance to have a little bit of both sides of the argument. I think by just sending out the petition, you're going to have a lot of people scratching their heads and wondering if there's any reality here, and the little bit of reality we can give them is a pro and con. And I also think you should allow the person being recalled this opportunity as part of due process.
Well, that's how the petition is written. That's how it's written as it stands, that the petitioners will be able to expand on the petition.
Right, that's why I'm saying I'm against the amendment. And I
there is no amendment. Leslie's amendment. Okay.
Yeah.
It hasn't been put forth. What's in front of us is just the number five.
I'm looking at number five, and I've got the ballot will consist of the text of the recall position exactly as permitted, and then it goes into all this red. And all I'm saying is that if our original way of doing it was allowing the people who started the recall as well as the person being recalled to submit a statement, I think that, first of all, the voters need that, and second of all, it is only fair to not only both sides, but particularly in this situation, the person being recalled. To just send them the petition, everybody's going to be scratching their heads and calling us to ask us for information. And then the factionalism starts.
Oh.
Okay. Bonnie, you were next.
Well, I am speaking against an explanatory statement for a number of reasons. The bylaws say that the only grounds for removal is action adverse to the best interest of the foundation. They say that the petition has to allege that. Then you are using this case, you are allowing a separate statement of another 1,000 words, and there's no regulation to this, that statement is going to speak to the same things that were within the petition. So I have some questions about it. First of all, is there a limit to the length of the petition? Because if there isn't, and you've got a 1,000-word statement that is attached from the petitioners, and then another 1,000 plus however long the initial petition was given to the person that is trying to be recalled, then it's going to be really unwieldy for that to be sent out.
Well,
if there is a separate statement, here are the questions that go along with it. Who gets to write the petitioner's statement? Is it any one of the petitioners? Who picks the person? Do all the signatories who ask to recall the person have to agree to the statement, or is it just one person's statement that needs to come in? Who decides whether the statement that is submitted only makes an explanatory statement of the charges and doesn't bring new and unrelated charges that the rest of the petitioners never signed on to?
Would you like to make an amendment?
I'd like to get on the stack and answer some of those questions.
Well, Bonnie still has the floor. Bonnie, would you like to make an amendment?
I think that it should just be the petition as it is submitted and a statement in response from the person that they are trying to recall what should we call it? We could call it 1,000 words, 800 words, 1,000 words.
George, can I get on the stack?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear so what is your amendment then?
That it is that the people that are petitioning get to submit their petition with the explanation in it as to why they think that, you know, the charges that they're making upon the person they would like to have recalled, and that the only other things in the ballot are the ballot question itself and a response from the person that is up for recall of up to 1,000 words.
Okay, so in essence then you would strike the red part and
the
it has
red,
to be fixed up a little bit. To,
I'm in
to
black
make
and
it,
white here, so
yeah.
The
okay.
red part.
information?
to the text of the recall petition exactly as submitted.
And a statement from the delegate subject to recall of no more than 1,000 words, plus the number of words in the petition. The additional, then you extract the additional statement by petitioners must be submitted within 10 days, and it would read, the ballot would consist of the text of the recall petition exactly as submitted, and a statement from the delegate subject to recall of no more than 1,000 words, plus the number of words in the petition. You could strike that, too, if you thought it was excessive.
Can we divide this, please?
Point of information.
What's your point of information?
How many words do the people initiating the recall get in their petition?
It hasn't been determined yet.
Do they get 1,000? Well, then I'll amend it right now. Let's amend it right now. That the people...
You have a point of information and you're not recognized.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
No. So
Bonnie still has the floor.
I want to be clear here.
Excuse me.
A point of information, and you have told me that, no, there isn't that, do I not have a right to say I'd like to make an amendment?
You can't do it now, though, however. You have to wait until you're recognized.
That's what I just asked you. It was a second point of information. I am happy to wait to be recognized.
Okay.
George,
Bonnie? Yes?
The ballot will consist of the text of the recall petition, no longer than 1,000 words, exactly as submitted, and a statement from the delegate subject to recall of no more than 1,000 words. And the final, we have to have the ballot shall have as responses only yes or no that the delegates should be recalled.
Okay.
I think we have to think about timing. Let's see.
It's written in such a way that the delegate statement has to be in 21 days before the mailing date. The election supervisor could be the DNB, but someone sets a date for the mailing, between 45 and 60 days the date that the election begins, the date of record of the election. That's done right away. The delegate then has to get the thing in 3 weeks before in order to get the election supervisor a chance to print up the ballots and get them out. 3 weeks seems to be enough for that.
Right.
It
would seem that if we really want to make this as clear as possible, then, correct me if I'm wrong here, perhaps we want to have something that says that the delegate will be given the petition as soon as it is certified, and that the delegate will have, what's reasonable, 15 days to turn in their 1,000-word statement?
We already have him getting notified that the thing is going to happen. So
I think we just need a time.
So you want to make it a time from the date recall begins instead of a time before the mailing. So let's do this one at a time. The motion was made and seconded to strike out the part of 5, which allows for the petitioners to add an additional explanation to the ballot. Sean, you wanted to make a motion about that?
Well, there's an amendment
on the floor. Do you want to speak to that amendment?
No, I want to speak to that amendment because Bonnie usurped my concern and said, let's put it in for the petition for 1,000 words, which I think is fine. My only concern is if the person being recalled is given the opportunity to respond with no rebuttal, the person being recalled could lay out a bunch of, what do I want to say here, fabrications, and nobody from the other side could respond to them to point out the mischaracterizations and the half-truths, and that is of some concern to me.
Anyone want to speak to that?
Sherry on the stack.
Sherry?
What's happening in KPFA is that there was a petition that alleged X, a petition to recall Bonnie and Brian, and it alleged X. And then they were given the opportunity to enumerate on X, but didn't address X. They addressed a whole different set of allegations, none of which appeared to be adverse to the interest of the foundation. So I think that 1,000 words allows a person who has concern about the performance of a member of the board being adverse to the interest of the foundation to lay out that behavior in a petition. I think that the person being recalled, if they're smart, is going to answer that, and then that should be the process. It doesn't behoove or the foundation doesn't speak well of us if we can't, we could go on forever. If you were in a court of law and you charge someone with a crime and then they answer guilty or not guilty, you can't just add 25 more crimes and let the people keep answering. It's not a court of law that we're in. We're not in criminal court, but we're making charges. They should be enumerated in the petition. The people should have the opportunity to answer the charges. If they choose not to and they choose to non sequitur, then that's their lost opportunity to respond to the allegations, and then we should get on with the election. It's a logical and efficient way. Otherwise, I don't see an end and I don't see fairness. I mean, the only people that have the opportunity to rebut in criminal court are the district attorney. That's not the position that petitioners should be in.
That is the petition that the people in charge.
Please, do not have a conversation.
We are at time. We are at time.
How convenient.
We have been at time for 35 seconds. Thank you.
Okay.
And I gave you 15.
Oh, my Lord.
We have an amendment on the floor. The amendment is, you've heard both sides of it. We need to go to a vote on that unless there's a motion to extend time. Hearing no motion to extend time, on the
George, you're
on
breaking
Bonnie's
up.
Amendment, on Bonnie's amendment, which would, do we need to read it again? Bonnie, would you read it again?
I think it's, the ballot will consist of the text of the recall petition with a limit of 1,000 words, exactly as submitted, and a statement from the delegate subject to recall of no more than 1,000 words. The ballot shall have as responses only yes or no that the delegate should be recalled.
Okay.
This is Richard. Please send that to me, Bonnie.
Okay, I'll write it up for you in a minute, Richard. Sorry.
Okay. Richard, would you take the... is there any objection to Bonnie's amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Richard, would you take up the roll, please?
Okay. This is for amendment on paragraph 5, Simmons amendment.
Yes.
Jerry Gendelman?
Yes, on the amendment.
Bonnie Simmons?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
Yes.
Joe Wanzala?
I'll pass for now.
Sean O'Brien?
No.
Les Bradford? Rico Ross?
I'm going to abstain.
George Ryder? No, you're the chair.
I'm the chair.
Okay. Then I better go back and ask Grace Aaron what she thinks. Grace Aaron, you want to vote on?
I'm going to pass for now.
Okay. Sandra Rollins.
Grace, okay, continue.
Sandra Rollins. Sandra, can I hear you? How'd you vote on that, Sandra?
I'll pass now.
Okay. Wendy Sherrill. When did you make it? Susan Young?
Yes.
Nia Bediako?
Yes.
Carolyn Burton?
No.
Kathy Davis? Jamie Boss? Jamie, you there? Jim Brown? AC Bird? Lizette King? Billy Ray Edwards?
Dang.
David Beaton?
Yes.
Fia Wangaza? We had some people that passed. Let's see, Andrea Turner? No. You voted yes. Owen Zala?
I'll vote no.
Grace Aaron?
No.
And Sandra Rolla?
I'll vote yes.
Vote what?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. You got 6-4-2-2. 6-4-2.
Six yes and four no's. Okay. The amendment passes. We need to go to a vote on the...
They're really seven yeses. They're really seven yeses.
Okay. We need to go to a vote on the amended the amended paragraph. Is there any objection to the paragraph as amended?
Could I just ask, what about... So we're getting rid of the additional statement by the petitioners. That's gone.
That's gone. There is a piece that you wanted to deal with that...
So is it the delegate statement is required to be filed 21 days before the mailing date determined by the election supervisor?
Yes, you wanted to make it 15 days after the date of record. But
yeah, because I just can't see the time. Help me with the timing the way it's written right.
We're actually out of time. We should just be going to a vote on this. Do I have permission to extend for 5 minutes?
I
hearing no objection, we'll extend for 5 minutes. You could do it either way. I don't have any objection to it. 2 weeks seems like enough time to put together a response.
Should we amend
it? It would be more like 3 or 4 weeks if you did it the way I've left it. But if you want to make the amendment, please.
Oh, I see. Wait. 21 days for the mailing date. It has to be 45 days from the record date.
Right.
Oh, I think we can just leave it. I'm sort of splitting hairs. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay. I'm happy with that. Well, hearing no further motions, is there any objection to the number 5 as amended by Bonnie's first amendment? Okay, hearing none, we move on to number 6.
Point of personal privilege, somebody is breathing loudly.
Someone stop breathing, please.
Not me, and I'm envious.
Okay, number 6. Delegates subject to recall and petitioners shall have equal access to the mailing list for the eligible members. Any challenges to the names on the list will be resolved by the appointed supervisor in consultation with the general manager. I've allotted 20 minutes for this. There's anyone want to speak to this paragraph? No. Any objection to this paragraph?
George, I'm trying to follow you. You said number 6.
Number 6, yes.
George, this is Nia.
Yes,
does Leslie have an amendment to that?
She does. It was much more detailed. Let me bring it out.
Actually, it's less.
Yeah. Since my this my computer isn't working. Will you, if I ask Bonnie when he gets the message, if she wouldn't mind, or somebody, just to just motivate, just at least let us hear what Leslie had to say.
I can do that.
Okay, thank you.
Well, yeah, the difference is it's specific.
You're breaking up again, George. I guess you moved. Did you move?
I didn't. This is the best I can do. It's a landline. And it's wired in.
Okay, stay right there.
How's that? Is that better?
Uh-oh.
Is that any better?
No, that's worse.
Do you want me to read Leslie's?
Yeah,
yes,
I'll say what the difference is. The difference is that Leslie specifies that the access to the mailing list shall be through a mailing house designated by the election supervisor. And the original motion I put forth does not specify that. If
so
I can
may
speak
I
to
that?
Yeah, Nia, go ahead.
Yes, I think it should. That too is also impartial. I think it should be by the mailing house. I don't know what the entire language says that Leslie has. I know you're telling what
just about is. I can read it the whole thing to you if you like. It says, "Delegates subject to recall and petitioners shall have equal opportunity to send mailings through a mailing house designated by the election supervisor to the mailing list of the eligible members."
What does yours say?
Here, you have the floor.
And what does yours say?
Mine just says that they shall have equal access to the mailing list. It doesn't specify that that should be through a mailing house.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. So that's simple.
I'm sorry, somebody else was back?
This is Sandra.
Sandra, go ahead.
Yours also designated on the list will be resolved by the supervisor in consultation with and amendment does not
that's
think
right.
about challenges
that's
will be
right. Leslie doesn't have anything about that in it.
I think that's important.
She has some. She has some statement later on about procedures for challenging. Actually, more specific, but.
Okay.
I'd like to speak to Leslie. This is Grace. I'd like to speak to Leslie's suggested amendment.
Okay, it's not on the floor yet, but you can speak to it.
Okay, all right, I'll wait.
Okay.
May I just move it on the floor, George, then? I thought that was what I said. It's a bit hard to hear me.
Yes, is there a second for that?
Second, Susan.
Okay. You want to motivate it, Nia?
Yes. Since we do use independent mailing houses, I think everyone should be pretty comfortable with that. That everything goes to the mailing house, that nobody thinks that people are seeing the names and so forth. It's just more impartial. It's just consistent with the current election.
Well, let me speak to it as it is, and the reason why I gave it 20 minutes. We just lost a lawsuit in New York, which we haven't lost the whole suit, but we lost that piece of it. New York law requires that you give them the membership list. At least that's what Ricardo says. That being the case, it seems to me we can't put something in that would not work in New York.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. Your timer got disconnected, and I'm now back on. Could you tell me where we're at in terms of time?
I would say we have about 7 minutes. We've probably got 13 more, something like that.
Okay, thank you very much.
So that's why it's written the way it is, and I would speak against the amendment for that reason.
This is Carolyn.
Carolyn, good.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, George. We cannot specify a mailing house. That's just one of an alternative that the bylaws say is open, I think, to the general manager or to the ED. So I think we have to omit that and simply leave it as a mailing without specifying a mailing house.